Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that you are a God in whom we can believe in, Father. That belief will enable us, O God, to stand before you at the speed of thought. That's what your word is proclaiming to us, Father. That we are not cut off from you. You're not a God who stays far away from us. You are as close to us as our heart is from you, Father. So we pray today that you will open our hearts to the understanding of what it means to believe in you. What it means to understand, O God, that this belief, O God, unveils to us the power of the living God. So Father God, open our hearts that we may hear and understand your word. That the word that we hear, O Lord, will come from you. It will be manifested by the Holy Spirit. It will be written into the tablets of our heart with meaning and with conviction. That we will understand, Lord, that in the reality of believing in you, we have an awesome future, an awesome destiny, a destiny to be unveiled by the power of the living God, a destiny to do things, O God, that today we think are impossible for us to do. So, Father God, teach us to believe in you. Teach us to believe in you in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So bless each one of us here, and bless all those who will hear this tape, Father, in different parts of the world, that they will understand and know that setting our life in you, Father, is the best thing we can ever make. It's the best decision of our life. It is the greatest investment we can make, Father. So open our hearts to understand your heart. Open our heart to understand the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have unveiled to us through the cross. Open our hearts that we may receive the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that what is impossible for us to comprehend will be made a reality in our lives. That we will do things that we never thought we would ever do, Father. That we will go and walk into things, O Lord, that you have set before us, because you have brought into us a reality that is unfolded from your heart. A reality that is sourced in you. A reality that is sustained by you. A reality, O God, that unveils you, Father. So bless each one of us that we may be a blessing to you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of belief. And last week we said something that was very important. We said that belief is defined by five characteristics. The first characteristic is hope. That belief implies hope. That belief is not just having a thought, it is having a hope. That the first element of belief is setting your hope on God. And you remember this verse, it's found in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19. It says that if you set your hope on the Lord, you are anchored behind the veil at the speed of thought. Let's read that. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. And that's what you must understand. You must listen to this verse and open it in your hearts. That when you set your hope on the Lord, your God, you are behind the veil at the speed of thought. That's a spiritual reality. It's a reality of God's grace open to your life. You don't have to stand on your head to get into God's presence. You don't have to balance on one finger to get into God's presence. You don't have to fast 40 days and 40 nights to get into God's presence. You only have to set your hope on Him. Set your hope on Him, and you are behind the veil at the speed of thought. Your soul is anchored behind the veil. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 3 verse 3, which says that he who sets his hope on the Lord Jesus Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. Hope is very powerful. It says that if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, you will be pure as he is pure. So if your hope is set on him, God begins a spiritual process of purifying you, and that's how you change. Don't have to balance on any one finger or on two hands, right? It is just open to you, grace upon grace. So at the speed of thought, God has been open to you a process, grace upon grace, a process in the name of Jesus. So hope is very important. So hope is like the foundational reality of belief. If your hope dies, you're dead. If your hope dies, there is no avenue for you to open, to be unveiled to God. You must set your hope on Him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says that faith is the substance of hope, the evidence. So hope opens to you faith. And the process from hope to faith is supernatural. And it manifests in you in substance. The Greek word for substance is hypostasis. And it unveils in an evidence. So God is not talking about make-believe. So don't think that the word belief is a nonsensical word. It's not. If you set your hope on the Lord, there will be a faith that unveils an evidence of who God is into your life. The third criteria of belief is righteousness. What you have faith for, what you hope in, must ultimately be put into practice in your life. A belief that is not lived is make-believe. It is fiction. So you must understand that it is in living what God gives you that you come alive to the fact that God is. That He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. That we must know that God is. That He is a rewarder of those who believe in Him. Alright? Okay. So, after righteousness comes the reality of loving God. You cannot relate to a God whom you do not know. You cannot relate to a God who is not alive to your life. Because love is a relationship. And so you must understand that belief must ultimately lead to a relationship. And that relationship is based on love. And it's love that opens in forgiveness. And it's love that enables us then to realize God's blessings. And we realize that God gives us not based on our merits, but He gives us grace upon grace. It is only when you love God that you can then talk about holiness. Because you will never want to belong to Him in holiness unless you really love Him. So belief is a process. It begins with the foundation of hope, and it develops into faith that flows into righteousness, that flows into love, that flows into holiness. And if you were to draw a block diagram, we will draw hope at the bottom, and we will have the elements of faith, righteousness, love, and holiness as four boxes over that. And you will draw an arrow that goes from hope into faith, hope into righteousness, hope into love, hope into holiness, and you will have another line that comes backwards, right? Feedback. So it's a continual cycle of growth. It's a spiral of growth. It's a many-faceted system of growth. That's what we described in last week's message, right? So belief is something very important, all right? So we introduced two important verses last week about why hope is so important, right? We just talked about one, you're anchored behind the veil, you are purified, even as Jesus is purified. There's another verse that I want to show you today, which we also mentioned last week, Ephesians chapter 1. If you read from context, from verse 17, it talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ and what comes to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in verse 19 it says, "And what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe?" So if you want to discover the power of God, you must believe. And if you want to enter the power of God, it only requires hope. So don't have any religious ideas that, you know, I've not prayed enough, I've not read enough of the Bible, I've not, you know, fasted enough, I've not done this enough, and I've not done that enough. That's where a lot of Christians are trapped, trying to think of their righteousness as making them suitable to come before God. None of us is suitable to come before God. We come before God only by grace. We come before God only in the merits of the Lamb. And so this surpassing greatness of His power is towards us who believe in Him. So set your hope on the Lord and the power of God opens to your life. The trouble is we've got some funny ideas of power too. We have these fairy tales that we read in our childhood where the frog became a prince. So we have this power, this idea that power works like that. The frog will be zapped into a prince.
That's also true. That's what God is doing with each one of us, taking us from frogs to become princes of the kingdom of God. But it doesn't just happen like that, rock, zap, and it's done, all right? So, but that is the general idea. But we have this idea of power that works like a magician's power. But God wants you to understand a very basic idea of power, right? If you look at an electrical appliance, and you look at that socket, you realize that there is a manifestation of power, and what that power does is make this electrical appliance work. So the fundamental reality of the power of God is to make you work the way God wants you to work. And many of us don't find that very exciting. But if you don't work the way God wants you to work, you're going to court disaster. So God testifies to us through the life of Lucifer. Lucifer was the covering cherub. He was anointed. He stood before God in the Holy of Holies. He was the foremost cherub, blessed in perfection, and he fell. There is a lesson to be learned, that if you don't learn how to work the right way, you will eventually fall. Doesn't matter who you are. And Lucifer didn't just only fall, he took one third of the angels with him. So you need to understand something through the life of Lucifer. He must have been very impressive. He must have been so impressive that one third of the angels thought he was an excellent replacement for God. And these were angels who actually saw God. They stood in God's presence, they saw His created universe, and they made a choice. And they said that this anointed cherub could be God Himself. And so they followed Him. They only found out how small they were. As Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He didn't just fall by himself, he brought all his one third of his angels, and the whole bunch of them were thrown out at the speed of lightning. Only then did he understand how small he was compared to the infinitude of God. Which brings us to the point that belief must be based on God. If belief is not based on God, it is worthless. It is worthless in the sense that ultimately it will pass away. Now in our modern management training programs, in our educational system, we tell young people that they must have faith in themselves. They must believe in themselves. God has a better idea. Believe in me. Yes, you can believe in yourself, and yes, you can achieve results, and those results are tangible. The only problem is those results will not remain. Yes, they can be experienced. Yes, they can be lived. Yes, they can be enjoyed. But they do not remain. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that they do not remain. It doesn't matter whether you are, what's that guy in computers? Bill Gates, right? Even his empire will one day pass away, even as he will pass away, right? The only thing that remains is God. And so we must understand that biblical belief is entirely focused on God. That to believe something, you have to focus that belief on God. If God is not in it, it's not worth it. Because you will spend your life, invest your life in something, and then there will come a point in time when you see what you have invested in disappear. So make the choice to live by God, by setting your belief in Him. Training your children to set their belief on God and not just believing in their own abilities. Telling your children that God can bring into their lives what they don't have. God can create within them that which they do not have, because God is the creator. And that's the first thing, that's the first reason why you should believe in God, because God can create. So you're not stuck with your inabilities, you're not stuck with your limitations, you're open to the potentials of God. Amen? But this creative potential of God is only open to you through Christ Jesus. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when you set your heart on the Lord, when you set your hope on the Lord. Now one of the things we said last week was that hope is a heart reality. It is not an intellectual reality. So God is your creator. And you need to understand that today He creates in Christ Jesus. So if you leave Christ Jesus out of the picture, this reality of what we are talking about, God being your creator, will just not work. It's not work in the sense that it will not be realized in tangible terms in your life. One of the ways in which God demonstrates that He is your creator is as He brings change into your life. You are made up of spirit, soul, and body. And God wants you to understand that your spirit and your soul are eternal. So when you set your hope on the Lord, He will bring an evidence that He is building you in the eternal, in the abiding, through your soul and your spirit. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you take out Christ and this verse does not exist. Hello. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that's why you should set your hope on the Lord God, your Creator. Because He will bring new things into your life. Are you with me? And that's exciting. That's exciting because I'm 51 years old and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in my life. Right? Others talk about retiring, but I'm talking about living. Right? And you need to set your hope on the Lord. You need to discover that reality from God. Only God can give you that reality. No amount of preaching will bring that into you. Only God can open that into your heart. But God says, if you believe in me, this reality exists for you. Praise the Lord. God is your creator and He's able to create you. Right? So you know the Psalm, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Right? You remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You remember that word on hope? He who sets his hope on Jesus Christ purifies himself just as He is pure. So can you see God? Absolutely. All it requires is time. But you will see God and you will see Him with your heart. Will your heart be pure? Absolutely. Only will require time. How will it be purified? It will be purified in the power of God, in the power of His love for you, in the power of the faith of Jesus Christ for you. If you look at the cross, what do you see? A perfect faith and a perfect love, a perfect forgiveness. That's why He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He rose into a plane that rises above all the mediocrity of our ways, all the darkness of our ways, and He says, Father, here is a new way. I forgive them. Now what's the basis of that forgiveness? His faith and His love for you. That's how Jesus saves you, with His faith and His love for you. What is contained and transmitted through His faith and His love? His character and His nature. And I put it to you, if you receive the character and nature of Jesus Christ, 100% you will change. Batulda. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out too. Amen? That's why the Bible says, set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be pure. It's only a question of time. Amen? The surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe in Him. And that surpassing greatness of His power is able to do something that all the power that we experience in the world will never be able to do. Praise the Lord. So God is your creator. Set your hope on Him and you will see results. The Bible tells us, I'm not going to go through the verses for this. You can come to Bible school to listen to all the verses that tell you that God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. God is omniscient. That means He is all-knowing. What does that mean? He knows the outcome of everything in the universe, past, present, and the future. The past, the present and the eternal future. God is omniscient. Right now, He knows the outcomes of all things forever. So if you are making the smart money is on God, right? The smart money is on God. So because God is omniscient, if you and I have half a brain, then we should set our hope on the Lord, because He is omniscient. Praise the Lord. And because this omniscient God has presented Himself to you on a cross, you can put your trust in Him and know that what He does with you will be good. No matter how many painful circumstances He takes you through, that ultimately the results and the outcome will be good. Now all of us, most of us here, are old enough to have made mistakes in our life. We already know that what we do doesn't really satisfy. No matter how many accolades we receive from men, no matter what kind of positions we hold, no matter how much success we have, on the inside it just doesn't satisfy. Again, you need to understand that God designed you to love Him. God designed every man, woman and child to love the Lord their God with all of their heart, soul, mind and strength. And if God is not manifested within you, you will never have satisfaction. It doesn't matter how much of money you have. It doesn't matter how great you are considered. It doesn't matter how big your achievements are. The only thing that can satisfy you on the inside is the reality of God. Praise the Lord. So omniscience. God knows the outcome of everything in your life. Right? God knows the outcome of everything in your life in all eternity. And this God can be trusted. Praise the Lord. Simply because He manifested Himself to you on the cross. He didn't come to you in a great vision with all of His angels and manifesting Himself on the throne and all you can do is bow down before Him, awe-stricken. No, He presented Himself to you on a cross and said, "This is what my heart is like. Can you trust me?" Because if you don't trust God, you cannot move into the things that God has for you. It requires trust. Why? Because God's purpose with your life is far more than your intelligence and your talents. In fact, it is infinitely more than your intelligence and your talents. So you will find that fundamentally, if you don't trust God, you cannot grow in God. And that's why God presented Himself on a cross to you. So that you can have a good look at the cross and say that this God is worth all my trust. In fact, He's the only one I can trust. Haven't you trusted yourself and found the results of all that? Okay? So God is omniscient. And He is trustworthy, right? God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. All power rests in God. Even the power that Satan operates in, it was given to him. It was delegated to him. He chose to use it the wrong way. So he converted what was good into darkness, and he brought destruction and death into the experience of the creation. But God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is almighty. So if God is almighty and all-powerful, you can put your trust in Him. Again, God doesn't tell you to do that based on some airy-fairy theological statement. He demonstrates that by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. He demonstrates that by presenting Jesus Christ to His disciples. And there was one disciple who said, "I will not believe unless I put my finger where the holes are." Correct? And so Paul writes that one day Jesus manifested Himself to 500 people. And Paul simply writes, "And they are still here." So that's why the Bible is structured by testimony. The whole Bible is structured by testimony. Not perfect testimonies. But out of those imperfect testimonies, you can still see the greatness of God. The perfect testimony of God is the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's absolutely perfect. Amen? But God demonstrates throughout the Bible that everything that He does by testimony. That's why faith has an evidence. So if you set your hope on the Lord, there will be an evidence of the Lord in your life. Many of us fail to see that evidence because we are looking for God to do things that He cannot do. God cannot lie and He cannot do that which is evil. It is not His character. That's why God opens Himself and presents Himself to Moses as, I am who I am, and I am that I am. You find I am that I am as a manifestation that is written in the Old King James Bible. In the New Translations, God is present. His name is presented as I am who I am. So who God is and all that God is meant to become a reality to us. It's meant to become a reality that is a testimony. So if you look at what your life is going to be, what God wants to do with your life, it is to manifest His testimony in your life. So that's why your belief must be in God. Not belief in a position or belief in an achievement. Because if you set your belief in achieving something, yes, you will achieve it. But that achievement will not stand the test of time. So set your belief on the Lord. Set your belief on the Lord. For He is omnipotent, all-powerful. And because of the power of God, all things are possible in your life and my life. Alright? That's why David writes in Psalm 54 verse 1, Save me, O God, by Thy name. Vindicate me by Thy power. Vindicate means justify. Save me, O God, by Thy power, by Thy name, and vindicate me by Your power. Praise the Lord. And that's what the message of the scripture is. God wants to vindicate you with His power. That's why when Jesus talked to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, He said, My power is perfected in your weakness. Praise the Lord. So don't despise your weakness, because your weakness opened to you the potentials of you realizing the power of God. It takes time. It takes focus. It takes being not shaken, but you will realize it. And that's what God is talking about. Amen? So God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time. He's equally present here as He is on His throne. The only difference is on the throne He manifests Himself. Here He is there, but He has not manifested Himself in the same level as He manifests Himself on the throne. But wherever you are, God has the potential of manifesting Himself. And He can manifest Himself past, present and future. All things are the same to Him. And that's why you know that one of the names of God is called Yahweh Shammah. I am who I am. I am there. Right? This is why you need God. You need to set your belief on God, because God will be with you. So you must understand that when God talks of you believing in Him, He wants to develop that reality of Him inside of you. That's why He structured His law by saying that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength. So your heart, your soul, your mind is where God wants to unveil Himself. Right? But He also tells you it will be manifested as your strength. Now strength can be demonstrated. Strength can be demonstrated in what you do. Right? Strength of purpose. Right? Strength of determination. Right? That strength can be demonstrated in the things you do. Praise the Lord. So you need to understand that that is God's purpose. That the purpose of belief is to enable you to function in His strength. So the power of God is a realized strength inside of you. Alright? And this strength is built into you in a witness. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Praise the Lord. Alright? He has the witness in himself. So when you talk about hope, When we talk about faith, when we talk about righteousness, when we talk about love, when we talk about holiness, they are all attributes that are to be manifested from a witness. Are you with me? They are attributes to be manifested in a witness. And he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. And every born again Christian has a witness of God in himself, supernaturally opened by God's grace. And every spirit-filled Christian has the potentials of being able to function in this witness by the Holy Spirit. Alright? So when God talks about belief manifesting in the surpassing greatness of His power, He's talking about that power being manifested through this witness. Are you with me? Let me show you, God demonstrated the power of this witness through a man called Enoch, who probably lived 3500 BC, around about there. So scholars tell us. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. Let me read that from the New American Standard. And this is what it reads. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. He obtained the witness. Now Enoch walked with God from the age of 65 to the age of 365, I think. A period of 300 years, Enoch walked with God and he obtained the witness. You have that witness at the speed of thought and you're born again. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So being born again is something awesome. Being spirit baptized takes that into a functional reality. You are not only alive to God, you can be alive by God. You can be alive in God, you can be alive through God. And you can put it to test in your life. And this is where the church must move into, to demonstrate that God brings forth His excellence through each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? That's the challenge God has put to the church. Amen. Alright, so let's look at 1 John chapter 5 verse 8. 1 John chapter 5 verse 8 defines the witness, and it says that this witness is a witness in blood, water and spirit. 1 John chapter 5 verse 8. For there are three that bear witness on earth. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. And blood, water, and spirit is the witness of the cross. When Jesus gave up His Spirit to the Father, He committed His Spirit into the Father's hands. When Jesus was pierced by the Roman soldier, out flowed blood and water. So this witness of blood, water, and spirit is the witness of the cross. Which is why belief has to be developed in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done for us. It has to be developed in the finished work of the cross, because if it is not, then this witness will not grow. Because this witness is defined at the cross. It is because of this witness, it is because of the development of this witness within you and me, that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. So we are talking about something of humongous potential. If you have a King James Bible or a New King James Bible, you will find that verse 7 says that there is a witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Now this is the key to why God says if you believe in Him, you are open to the surpassing greatness of the power that is unveiled in Jesus Christ. Because this witness sets you before the witness of God at the speed of thought. Which is why Hebrews says, if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be anchored behind the veil at the speed of thought. Can you see that? So in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, in His resurrection, a position has been opened to us that is awesome. And it's available to all of us, grace upon grace. But it's only available to us in Jesus' name. It is because of this witness standing before the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit that Jesus says, if you ask anything in My name, it will be done for you. So what is God's purpose in your life? For you to discover how God will do anything through your life. Amen. And the growth of this witness is a Passover, which is why in Holy Communion Jesus says, "Remember me." Because it is the basis of everything that you have in God. Your ability to remember Him. It is not an intellectual remembrance. It is the reality of the witness that you carry inside of you. Amen. And the Word of God is designed to build this witness inside of you. Praise the Lord. Right? So if you look at the Bible, it's structured as a testimony. A testimony is a witness. But God is not talking about theological witness. He's talking about living witnesses. You and me. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 reads like this. Let's turn to that. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of whose faith? Of our faith." Praise the Lord. So we are standing before a cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. They have achieved something. We are the recipients of what they have achieved. So don't belittle what they have done. Because what they did came out of also a great sacrifice. The fact that you have a Bible in your hand is because so many people gave their lives for that Bible to be written, for that Bible to be preserved. Because there were so many attempts to destroy the Word of God. You will even find it written during Jewish times. But there was one point where they accidentally found the Word of God. Because everything had been destroyed. So they found this set of scrolls that were preserved. And so the king of that time was so excited that what he did was he ordered all his people to come together so that the scrolls could be read before them, because the Word of God had been found. So some unknown scribe took those scrolls and kept them. So there is a great price that stands in the Bible, and sometimes we don't even bother to read it. We are too busy. There were scribes who dedicated their entire life to just copying these scrolls. And every time they made a mistake, they would take that scroll and destroy it. Which is why the scrolls that depict the manuscripts of the scripture are so accurate. Within 1%. Praise the Lord. So you must understand, we stand as a church built on a witness. And that witness rises from the time of Adam. And in spite of all the mistakes of the Jews and the mistakes in church history, God has continued to unveil His Word and bring His promises to pass. Praise the Lord. So we need to be grateful to those who have stood for God in spite of the darkness that has flowed through the nations. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So there is a great witness that has been manifested. Now this witness is a living witness. It's being perfected. It is being completed. You and I have to play our rightful role in the unfolding of this witness. Because nobody else can play your part in the unveiling of this witness. You must have the courage to allow God to change you and use you as the vessel that God wants you to be. So few of us are willing to do that. So few of us are willing to trust God and allow Him to mold us and to shape us. So few of us are willing to make the sacrifices. But this is what this verse says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2. Jesus sets the tone. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus has set the example. He looked at the joy before him, the joy to be realized from each and every one of our lives. And so he paid the price. He manifested the necessary faith and love for that joy to be manifested in your life and my life. And we are Gentiles who come from idol-worshipping nations. Our heritage is not a pretty heritage. Our heritage is a heritage that has stood against God for centuries, from generation to generation to generation. And today we stand as sons of the living God, and so few of us appreciate it. But to appreciate what God has given us, you have to believe in Him. Because it's only as you believe in God that He manifests His thought processes that will enable you to change, to see how He thinks. So Jesus sets that tone for us. Right? That He despised the shame and the humiliation. Here you're talking about a person who is God, who was customarily used to angels bowing down before Him. We're talking about glorious angels. Angels with tremendous power and influence. Angels who occupied tremendous spheres of influence. And He was used to them bowing down. And He came down to be abused by us, to be ridiculed by us, to be spat upon, to be torn apart, to be lied about, to be despised, to be tortured. And He despised all that. That's what that verse says. So that He would be able to take that place that will enable us to rise in His merits and become sons unto God. Praise the Lord. And so you must understand. So why it is so necessary for us to believe in God. Why it is so necessary for us to set our belief in God and develop it in Jesus Christ. Because it is only in Jesus Christ that we will begin to understand the wonder of new life that God has given us. And the wonder of the new life that God has given us can only be understood through revelation. It cannot be understood by the intellect. If you understand things by the intellect, they kind of die off. But God wants to open it to your heart so that He will manifest the driving force that will enable us to do things that we cannot do today. So you must ask God to open that witness to you. That's why Jesus left us with three important words. He said, ask and seek and knock. You cannot receive what you are not prepared to ask for. You cannot discover what you are not prepared to seek after. It cannot be opened to you. Doors cannot be opened to you if you're not persistently going to knock for them. If you value something, you will go after it. And God cannot give something to somebody who does not value it. You can't give a garland to a monkey. The monkey by nature will not appreciate that garland. It doesn't matter if he's the biggest monkey and he's the smartest monkey. So God has to change us. He has to change us into sons of God. He has to change us so that we will have the mind of Christ, so that we will appreciate the importance of the life God has given us. So that we will think and understand that nations will walk in the glory of our rising. Yes, it is a huge plan. Yes, it is beyond our intelligence. But God is just asking us to play our little role in the little universe that we occupy. He's not asking you to go to a cross to bear the burdens of the whole world. Somebody has already done that. But what He is saying, He has done that. Will you bring the consequences of what He has done through your life and demonstrate it in this world of darkness? Break those strongholds of darkness that hold the human race by demonstrating that Jesus lives, demonstrating that Jesus saves, demonstrating that Jesus heals, demonstrating that Jesus delivers today, demonstrating that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And those who live Him will live a different life, will do things differently. who will think differently, act differently, behave differently. Praise the Lord. That we will have mindsets of princes, of kings to be manifested in the future. See, all of this thinking process, God has to bring into us through belief. If you don't believe, God cannot bring this forth in your life. And you will continue to live by the testimony of the world. You will continue to respond to it, and after 30 years of working faithfully, you suddenly realize they retired you. They gave you a watch and sent you away. And most people die 5-6 years after they retire. Most men. Isn't it wonderful that you have an eternal job in the kingdom of God? Right? You have a destiny. And it's a job with purpose. Nobody gets retired. You just pass on to a new level and you continue. Praise the Lord. Amen. To appreciate that, God has to give you a revelation. Because you cannot intellectually appreciate it. Right? So belief is so important, because through belief God responds, and He responds by manifesting in us the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ, the Greek word for mind is nous, N-O-U-S. There are about 7 or 8 Greek words for mind. And most of the other Greek words talk about the inner mind. You know, there's a middle framework of the mind, and there's a deep framework of the mind inside. Alright? And there are different Greek words that describe it. The Greek word nous means that it is the expressive mind that is built on all of these different forms of the mind that God intends for us to realize. That means if you don't express your thought processes the right way, the rest of it doesn't matter. Right? At the end, the bottom line is how you think. Right? And that expressive mind, That expressive mind represented by the Greek word nous, is what is the mind of Christ, the nous of Christ. Praise the Lord. And so you need to understand that God has structured something awesome. Amen. He also tells us that with our heart built in the belief of God, we can ascend into the mount of the Lord. Let me show you that. Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4. Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now the Hebrew word for hill here and the Hebrew word for mount is the same word. So it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or the mount of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. All that is an outcome of a belief in God. If you set your hope on God, you will have a pure heart. If you set your hope on God, you will ultimately do things the right way. So he talks about clean hands. Hands represent doing. Alright? So who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy hill? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. All that comes out of belief. It comes out of belief because it comes out of what Jesus has done for us. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, what He has done for you becomes available to you. The witness that He has manifested for you becomes available to you. God provides you. That's why this reality of the Mount of the Lord is mentioned in Genesis chapter 22 verse 14. All right, let's look at that. Genesis chapter 22 verse 14. And this is what it reads. And Abram called the name of the place Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So can you access the mount of the Lord? Yes. From where do you access the mount of the Lord? From your heart. And the higher you go, the higher will be God's provisions in your life. Praise the Lord. Makes sense? Amen. And that witness is blood, water and spirit, the witness of the cross. So God announced that name after He stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac. Correct? Because that would have accomplished nothing. So that sacrifice had to be delayed 2,000 years so that Jesus could come and fulfill that sacrifice, so that the right witness would be manifested. And that right witness is available to us as we set our belief on Him. So in Holy Communion, it's a Passover, right? So when the Passover was first celebrated, when God was going to bring the Jews out of Egypt into the Promised Land. Amen? So all of those promises were premised on a Passover. Today we celebrate Passover in Holy Communion. And Jesus says, remember me. Why does He say remember me? Because that remembrance is a witness. And the degree of that witness built into you is a Passover. You stand before God at the speed of thought. You may not appreciate that, but you already do. Maybe you are in the foothills of the Mount of the Lord, but you are already there. Alright? That's why He says, if you set your hope on the Lord, you are anchored, your soul is anchored behind the veil at the speed of thought. Praise the Lord. So belief is a powerful word. That's why Ephesians says, the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe in Him. Praise the Lord. So take care what you believe in. Hello, it's easy to believe anything. But belief in God comes with an evidence. It comes with a transformation. And when it comes and nobody can deny it. Hello. When it comes with a transformation. And the evidence that God gives is absolutely indisputable. Only a thick head will refuse it. Unfortunately, we have got millions of thick heads around who refuse to see the hand of God, including those in the church. That can't be helped. If a person doesn't want to see, you can't help him. If he insists on being blind, so be it. But to those who see, God opens an awesome reality. And all of us sitting here have a testimony of Jesus changing our lives. But why have you stopped where you are? Why are you not pursuing the greater things in God? That's the question. You see, ultimately, belief must translate into life, guys. It is in life that the testimony is fulfilled. And God wrote the scriptures for fulfillment. He didn't write the scriptures to tell us a bunch of rules. He wrote the scriptures so that we will understand that those scriptures are going to be manifested in life. That the world will see that we are sons of God. That one day we will actually love each other as ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. So listen to what God has for your life. And take courage and walk into what God wants to unveil through your life. Because nobody else can take your place. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Is God lying or is He telling the truth? Let me show you another verse that flows from that psalm. Give me a minute to find that psalm. This psalm. Psalm 139. In verse 14 it says, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. I want you to understand that the guy who wrote this 1,000 years before Christ. And he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it very well. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ, and so few of us appreciate it. He did not have the revelation of Jesus Christ like we have. Do you understand now why God looks at David and says, a man after my own heart? Not because he did not have flaws, but because he had a great view of God. And that's what God wants out of your life. Have a great view of God and He will transform you. Amen? That's the key. Alright? Now look, verse 17. Same flow. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. How vast is the sum of them. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It is one thing for you and I to have great thoughts. They're not very great anyway. But it's a totally different ball game for God to have great thoughts over you. You may seriously ponder, what great thoughts can anybody have over me? But the Bible, it is written that God has great thoughts over you. How vast is the sum of them? He not only has one thought, he's got many thoughts over you. And the psalmist writes, how vast is the sum of them? Praise the Lord. Now to understand those thoughts, you have to believe in him. Because the communication channel between you and him is built on belief. Praise the Lord. And that's why Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 is an important verse for us to understand and remember. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Right? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Praise the Lord. And that's the basis of everything that you receive in your life. God rewards you. He rewards you based on one word, belief. Remember, the elements of that belief are based on hope, faith, righteousness, love, and holiness. Praise the Lord. And it's a growth process. God gets you into it and leads you into it. You don't have to strive for it. It is open to you, grace upon grace. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's very important for you to understand that. All right? It's time for our communion. First Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. So when we celebrate Holy Communion, we are celebrating the realities that we have realized through our belief in the Son of God. Through our belief in the Son of God. Right? Luke chapter 22 from verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. That's the position God has given the entire church. We didn't earn it. Those disciples didn't, those apostles didn't deserve it either. It was given to us. Alright? So in the book of Ephesians, it is written that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Amen? And that's a reality open to you by belief. Amen? Alright. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So catch the key word. Jesus has desired. How do you desire something when you have to go to the cross tomorrow morning? Think about it. Can you imagine the faith and the love that were involved? All right? With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God, brethren? It is within us. It is amongst us. We celebrate Passover because it represents prophetically a reality of fulfillment. A reality of fulfillment that is open to us, grace upon grace. Grace manifested through the fervent desire of the Lord Jesus Christ for that Passover to be manifested in your life. All these apostles are going to run away tomorrow morning, except for John. And the only reason John stood there was because he loved him. The others said they loved him, and they ran away. Right? And he has fervent desire. All right? Talk about faith. Talk about love. Alright, so we celebrate Holy Communion because it is a manifestation of the fulfillment of God's word in our life. It comes to us through belief. Amen. Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. In the New American Standard, it says, share this among yourselves. So we are required to take this cup. If you come from a traditional Christian church, you will always find that the cup was wine with water. Spirit, of course, they could not show that, so they only put wine and water. Right? But the real reason for it is because that cup is a manifestation of the witness of the cross. So what we are called to share is the witness of the cross. And we share it at the speed of our mouth. If you watch what comes out of your mouth every day, that sharing sometimes can be very, very disastrous, isn't it? Alright? So it's very easily verified how we partake of this Passover, because the moment we open our mouths, we manifest the Passover that we have attained or not attained. Alright? So take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Jesus is the true vine. You are the branches. The fruit of the vine comes off the branches. Alright? So we partake of this in fruitfulness. So it is so important that we are fruitful. Hello, you can't sit down and do ministry from your prayer closet. You've got to go out and lay hands on the sick and pray for them. Hello. You can't share the gospel, right, in your bedroom. It has to go out, and you've got to find someone to sit down with and share the gospel with. Pray for that person and lead that person to the Lord. And it's not just a sinner's prayer either. You have to take the pains, you have to make the sacrifice of time to give that person the life that you have received from God. The amount of time you're willing to spend with someone else demonstrates how much you appreciate what Jesus has done for you. Let's not bluff ourselves. See, ministry is for the church to unveil, not just for a bunch of pastors. That's why Paul writes, it is the believer who builds the church. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read that for you very quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 13. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Ministry is for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the building of the body of Christ. Alright, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. So you have to take your place. I didn't say it, the word of God declares it. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. What do we do in remembrance of him? By unveiling as living members of his body. That's the only way you can remember him. We are his body. He gave his body for us, and the result is we manifest as living members of his body. And if you understand that witness of blood, water, and spirit, you realize that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is to be manifested in each one of us. We are the product of that sacrifice. Amen? Praise the Lord. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And all this comes because of the shed blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. It is based on his faith and his love for us. It is based on his witness, his forgiveness. It is based on his character, his nature, his witness, his testimony. And all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the privilege of partaking of this Passover, because this Passover represents the fulfillment of your scriptures, Father, in each one of our lives and in the lives of our brethren across the world and in the heavenly places. Indeed, you are doing a mighty work, O Lord, a work far beyond our intelligence, a work far beyond what each one of us can appreciate. And we bless you and thank you that the work is bearing fruit. In spite of so many failures over history and time, Lord, Oh God, your triumph continues to manifest. And today we stand before you. Each one of us is an expression of that victory that has been achieved, Father. Indeed, you have done an awesome work with each one of us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the truth that sets us free. We thank you for Jesus alive in our hearts. We thank you, O Lord, that we are creatures of destiny. That all this is open to us not on merit, it's open to us grace upon grace. It is open to us as a promise. It is open to us, O God, as a blessing to be received, to be realized verifiably in the life that we live. So we do not remember a memory, Father. We remember the life that we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that life is being demonstrated through our lives. Although we demonstrate it imperfectly, Father, we know that we will be perfected and we will be completed in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because of His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we bless you for grace and truth that your Holy Spirit is manifesting to us in Jesus' name. So sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we partake of Him, of His fullness, of His flesh and blood, Father, demonstrating the prophetic dimensions of His fullness. Father, we know that you are unveiling us as a new creation, that we set our hope, O God, on the Creator God, the omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God, unveiled to us in the Messiah, the Son of God, who gave Himself for us, Father, the Son of Man, who gave Himself as a sacrifice, manifesting for us a perfect faith, a perfect love, an awesome nature, Father, a forgiveness, O God, that penetrates every darkness. And we thank you for the life that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. It is that realization that we ask for, Father. And we pray, O God, that through that realization you will manifest in us, O Lord, the substance of the Master's fullness. That substance, O God, that comes, O Lord, as we set our belief in all that Jesus has done for us, Father. And so we thank you that the substance of His fullness is what completes salvation in us, O Lord. It is the realization of your salvation, and it will be demonstrated in each one of our lives. And although we stand before you, Father, with our many faults and our many flaws, we know, Lord, that the triumph of Jesus Christ on the cross will be fulfilled in each one of our lives. Because, O God, the substance of His fullness is indestructible, Father. So we thank you for what you have manifested in us, and we thank you for persevering with what you mean to unfold in each one of our lives. As we partake in prophetic terms, Father, we look for the fulfillment. We celebrate what has been completed. We look forward to what will definitely be completed. And we bless you, Father, for persevering with us. For great is thy faithfulness, O God, our Father. In Jesus' name we bless you. Amen. Father, we thank you for the cup that was poured out for us in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit. What the book of Revelation calls, Father, the true and faithful witness. The beginning of the creation of God. And this witness being manifested in us is an unveiling of our creation in Christ Jesus. For we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for the good works you have ordained in each one of our lives. We thank you, Father, for where you are propelling us forward to. We thank you for the Church of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that your triumph continues to be manifested. In spite of our many mistakes, in spite of our many failures, in spite of the many times, O God, we have let you down, Lord.
We know, Lord, that your triumph will be made complete. So we want to thank you for all that you are doing. We want to thank you for what is registered in the heavenly places, O God. For what is registered as a witness that is indestructible in the heavenly places. We thank you, Father, for the witnesses, O God, that cloud of witnesses that bear witness, O God, to the fact that the victory of the cross continues to grow. We may not see it clearly, Father, but it is being manifested and it will be fulfilled. And all creation will bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We bless you for Jesus Christ. Amen.